Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
If you have your Bibles with you, can you turn with me to the book of Mark? We're going to go there first, I think. I'm going to do this proper church version this morning with a real Bible and not with the iPads or anything. Just by curiosity, how many of you have your Bible on your iPad or your phone? Just hold it up for me. Wow. How many of you have paper? Oh, good. We've got a half-half kind of going on there. Bill Johnson said we should develop an app that as people turn in their iPads, you hear paper rustling. It encourages the preacher a bit more than people are actually listening to what the heck is going on, you know. But come on, we're gonna dive into his word this morning, and we'll go with this. What a beautiful message last week. Let me encourage you, if you didn't hear it, go and listen to the podcast. Esther preached truth, and she preached revelation. And you always know when somebody's preached, you see God start to work in people's lives. And throughout the weeks before and the weeks this week and that, you can just see people being set free. How many of you know being set free is not always a comfortable thing? It's not, is it? Let's be true with that. The Bible says the goodness of God brings us to repentance. Sometimes we mistake the goodness of God as a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. We mistake the goodness of God of, oh, shame, it's okay, I'll be there, don't worry about it, you do whatever you want. Now, sometimes the goodness of God, there's another scripture in Romans, it says actually it brings you to that point of realizing some things need to change. In the changing, it hurts, but in the outworking for the rest of your life, oh, there's victory and there is more. Glory to glory. If I asked you how many of you want to go from glory to glory, or how many of you are quite happy just to sit and stay where you are, I would hope right now that amen would come on the glory to glory and the boo would come on stay where you are right now. Because I don't know if I really want to stay when I know God has more. Do you? Are you satisfied where you are right now? No, I'm not either. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for where God has taken me from and where he's taking me to, but I know there is more. The Bible says signs and wonders will follow those who believe. I think there needs to be a greater outpouring, and there will be an outworking of signs and wonders that are going to follow those who believe in these days. Amen? I truly and honestly believe. Somebody said to me the other day, Heath, you got to understand that's not the gospel. I'm like, no, without it, we don't have the gospel. Jesus did it all. He spoke, he taught, there were signs and wonders. He ate with people, he spent time with people, the Holy Spirit came upon. It is all the gospel. Sometimes we're trying to talk ourselves into some things where God's going, I'm trying to reveal something to you to change somebody's life in an instant. On Friday night, after we finished Kids Club here, what rolled into this room right here was a spiritualist and seance, if that's how you say the right word. And so while we're walking out having declared Jesus over a bunch of kids, this is rolling in. Now, I'm not going to get into arguments of what's what and who's who, but I do know something, that truth was revealed to children, and then as that came in, you could just see and sense the atmosphere and the spirit upon it that was not truth. That stuff was going to come in and infiltrate people's lives to bring confusion, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Even for sometimes in a moment, there is this revelation of, oh, well, you've just told me that I'm going to meet a tall, dark stranger. Great, awesome. But what is the eternal hope that we need to stand on? What is the eternal future that God has for us? And so I really want you to lock in. I want you to, that intimacy with God, that idea, and then not even that idea, that revelation that God is a good, good Father. He wants to bring more and more to us day by day. It is the one relationship that we can't spend too much time cultivating. I love when I hang out with the guys at 7:30 and a breakfast morning at McDonald's. We have healthy breakfast. And we have healthy conversation, and we dive healthy into the Word. We just pray over the food so no calories enter us. Lord, bring your anointing on the burger as it goes down my throat, and let it not bring anything on my hips. You know what? A moment on the lips is a lifetime on the hips, but I don't believe that. That's rubbish. Anyway, Mark chapter 1, Let's go there, verse 9. Jesus getting baptized. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth. What good thing can come from Nazareth? What good thing can come from Newport? I think there's loads of good things. But in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open. It doesn't say he saw the heavens gently. Is that a bird or a dove? It's the Holy Spirit coming right now. If it flies in that window, you got to know something's happening. Because the windows don't open, just by the way. But how do you know that? It says he saw the heavens parting. In my Bible, which is correct and that one's not, it says he tore. ESV. Don't worry about King James. But he said he tore. All right? It says that the heavens tore. It was almost a ripping open. It's the same word used when the curtain was torn. It's a violent act of we are separating something now so that something can take place. He said, and the heavens tore open and the Spirit or the Holy Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. Wow. What a picture. What an awesome picture of the Holy Spirit coming and descending on people, on Jesus in that moment. If you turn back in your Bibles, I think it's, we'll go there. Let's do that because it's good to go in your Bible sometimes. Isaiah 61, if I'm correct in saying. Isaiah 64, I do apologize. Heath, know your Bible, mate. It says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, and the mountains might quake at your presence. Do you know Isaiah spoke that over a people and said, oh God, that you would render, that you would rip open, that you would tear open, that you would give access to heaven so that your people might know that I'm God. What Isaiah prophesied, Jesus saw. What happened in that moment when Isaiah, can there be a moment when the heavens rip open? Jesus was there in the middle of nowhere getting baptized, and in that moment, the Bible says that the heavens tore open and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And in John, it actually says, and he stayed. It didn't say he came down and then he went somewhere else. It said the Holy Spirit stayed. I really honestly believe that there is an open heaven above every believer today. But the question is, do we want to access it? Like Esther spoke last week, do we want to allow the Holy Spirit to walk in and out of our lives in those classic rooms where we sweep the dirt and we close the closet and we stick things inside there? We don't want anybody else to see, especially when the guests are coming around, especially when people of maybe importance. When you kind of get a bit more sort of family orientated, you kind of just don't care. People can come and see your mess. But we sometimes what we do is we sweep it in that cupboard and we shut the door. And we don't go in there. Lofts are classic. I hate lofts. I really hate lofts. What a waste of space. We could, I don't know, put the kids up there to play or something like that. Now that's more useful. But just what do we store in lofts generally? You might say, oh, there's some great pieces in loft. I remember moving one person's loft. I think they're in here today. Mike Fitchie. And my gosh, it was the greatest movement. Claire Fitchie sitting out there. It was the greatest movement of a loft I have ever seen in my entire life. I have never seen so much stuff in a loft before. But often when I go up to my loft and I look around, I got the Christmas decorations right. We'll use that once a year, you know, kind of thing. I mean, now you can buy disposable trees, pop-up things. You just pull them out of a bag. Woo, and the decorations are there. It'd be so much easier. You go up there and there's a bit of baby clothes and some sentimental things were going on. I got my trophies from when I was like 10 years old going, ooh, I'm still a great football player, you know. Let me hold them. Right, get over yourself, Heath. Times have moved on a bit. But you've got all sorts of things in your loft. You store other people's stuff. And if you've got a garage as well, wow, they will fill it, won't they, Lizzie and Adam? They will fill your garage with stuff. But generally what happens is, if we're truly honest, we store things in places up there that actually we don't need or want or even want, you know. I'll use it one day. No, we don't. But we create these rooms where we say, I will deal with this one day. And God's saying, I want you to deal with it now. I want to step into your life now. I want to come in and I want to flow through you now. Because why? He wants you to take you to a place of liberty and freedom, and that does not come if you do not allow the Spirit of the Lord to dwell in that place. Esther said it last week, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Good, I'm glad this group listened. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. And oh my gosh, I want the Spirit of the Lord to dwell here. But in that moment, there's Jesus, and there's an open heaven. I said the other week that we are called to a destination which is heaven, but our assignment is to bring heaven to earth. It really is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us how to pray, God. Well, he taught us how to pray. We are vessels, conduits, whatever we are have an opportunity to bring heaven to earth in every moment of every day. And you know, I thought about this. When the Holy Spirit comes down and he rests upon Jesus, how many of you know something changed in that moment? You see, later on in Mark, Jesus said, I cannot do anything unless my Father says, do it. I heard Bill Johnson say that he's impressed when he understands that Jesus did miracles and we think it's because he was God. But when you understand that Jesus gave up that divinity when he came down here and said, you know what, for this time I'm going to walk like you and you and you, and I'm going to subject myself to whatever God the Father says, and I'm going to subject myself to listening to what the Holy Spirit says, that changes your idea and your perception of what Jesus did. Because Jesus didn't make it an exclusive thing. He didn't say, I'm going to do this, please watch me, and actually the rest of you are never going to be able to move in this whatsoever. He actually came down and he said, I'm going to come upon you. I'm going to go and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit come upon you so you can do greater works, my Bible says. If you think, where is it? Go home and Google it. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures this morning. So then that leaves me in a place where I have to understand one thing. How can I live knowing that there is actually more that I can step and be called into? How can I live knowing that Jesus, who came down from the heavens, a beautiful gift, came down and said, no, I'm not gonna be God in all his glory right in this moment. What I am going to be, I'm going to be you, and I'm going to subject to myself to the way God walks, you walk. I'm going to subject to myself to the way God speaks, what he says, and I will only do what my Father says I'm going to do. I will listen to what the Holy Spirit says. There's no coincidence that the Holy Spirit came upon him and then Jesus began doing what he was called to do in the next 3 and a bit years. We don't know much about before that. But this is a significant moment when the Holy Spirit comes upon. We can argue theologically, but I think that he fills you when you get saved, but I also think he comes upon you. I think there's and in both. I think my Bible's clear. But, you know, let's not split hairs about some things. But I think he's clear. And when you realize the Holy Spirit comes upon, it's like the example I heard before, that if right now in this moment the dove were to fly through the closed window and came and sat on my shoulder right here, and I did not want the dove to leave. I'm talking about if it was a real dove, white in its beauty, and it sat here. If I did not want the dove to leave, I cannot walk according to my own devices and my own ways. I can't all of a sudden do this, because I tell you what will happen, the dove is going to leave. I can't all of a sudden go, oh, like this, oh, and just do whatever I want to do. I can't all of a sudden. I have to be sensitive to walking according to the dove. And I would suggest that our lives need to shift and to change more than they have before. Because you may be saying, Heath, my gosh, this is fantastic. This is just exciting me. This is assuring me of the way I'm walking. But our lives can line up even more and walk according to how the Holy Spirit wants to direct and take us. You see, because if he is the voice into our lives, if he's the one person that God said, Jesus said, I'm going now and I'm going to leave you with somebody who's going to direct you, who's going to challenge you, who's going to bring things to your attention, then he's got to be the voice that we listen to. He's not the add-on to the Trinity. He's not God the Father, God the Son, and oh, by the way, that other thing. The church has dismissed the Holy Spirit too much. Dismissed what he can do, dismissed who he is, dismissed his beauty. He's here this morning. Isn't it incredible that the Father in heaven would send his Spirit to dwell in a vessel like you and me? Something so small with something so huge inside. Something so small with something so huge inside. But church, you know, I think the Father is looking for a generation that will understand what it is to steward and host his presence. Steward and host his presence. You're called to steward his host, his presence, not on a Sunday morning, but in every single day of the week. I loved hearing the reports from prayer meeting on Tuesday night where people had spoken words of knowledge and prophecy and that just confirmed everything that goes on. God's not a confusing God. Do you know that? He's not come to bring confusion. He comes to bring clarity. He comes to bring freedom and direction. You've only got to just listen and ask him. But we've had two extremes. We get the extreme of, right, we do, 100%. We need to know our word of God, 100%. But all word and no spirit, the Bible says, leaves us short. Or you get the other extreme where it's like, ooh, let's just go with everything and the Spirit of God says we got, you know, and we just end up going in all sorts of directions. Often it's not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of whatever else is floating around in my own flesh. But when we bring these two together, the Bible says that we are men and women of the Word and of the Spirit. He begins to do things and operate in ways that we have no idea. Mark 5. Turn with me there. I'm not going to be much longer this morning. Sometimes I love it. We think, oh, well, we need to preach for hours upon hours. Yeah, it's good. I love that. But sometimes we just need to share a few things because we want them to drop and dwell. Mark chapter 5. Jesus heals a woman and Jairus' daughter. If we pick it up in end of 24, and he went with them, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. Wow. She'd been to the guys who apparently can fix this thing and had spent all she had. She'd done it all and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. I want that to drop with you for a moment. And touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone. Do you know that the Holy Spirit in you is power? He is power. He is the power of God in you and upon you to not just change your life, but to affect every single person's life that you walk and talk with. Can you imagine that day? There must have been hundreds of people. He said many knew. There must have been people trying to get around him. He's probably trying to talk to people. He's probably trying to minister to people. He's probably trying to do a lot of things walking down that street, you know. Somebody was probably arguing with him, you know, theologically about something. And then in a moment, there's a woman trying with her best and saying, if I can just touch the garment. If I can just get it. That's the faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we can only come to him if we believe with him, and he rewards those who seek him diligently. There is more that God has for you and for me. He wants to bring a greater revelation, but you have to seek Him. This is not just throw it out there ministries. God is not, He said, I'll trust you with the little, be faithful with the what? The large, no, the small. You want to grow? You know why David grew and became the man that took on the lion and the bear and then the giant and then nations and then raised mighty men? Because God said, I can trust you in the secret places. In the secret places where nobody else is looking. Michael, He can trust you because in the secret places He's seen your heart. And oh, sometimes in the secret places, it's where so much is revealed, and we have a choice then to deal with it. But she just wanted to touch His garment. And the Bible says that power left Him. You know what's fantastic about the Holy Spirit? He's given to us without measure. Without measure. It's like the tank on a car. It's like if I drive from here to London and I use a quarter of a tank of petrol. When I arrive, I have used some fuel, some power to get there. When I arrive, I will look at my tank and, oh, guess where the gauge is? It's still on full. And so when Jesus said, this power has left me, He knew something had gone, but not to a point like, oh, I'm lacking. Oh, I am less than I was a moment ago. Why did you take this from me? He's like, wow, somebody's life has been changed and the Holy Spirit has filled me up again and we're ready to go again. This is not lack ministries. We as a people and as a group and a body of believers and the church have lived in lack all the time. Why do we always start with what we don't have when we should start with what we do have? We have the power that raised Christ from the dead living inside of us. If that doesn't get an amen, I don't know what will. But if you've got the power of God that raised Christ from the dead living inside you, let me ask you a question. What else do you need? What else do you need? Oh, I need this. And I know you don't. Because Phil just said that everything in the earth belongs to God. And so if everything belongs to Him, and that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, you're the richest person in the world. But we start from a position of lack. Oh, I don't have. Oh, I don't. We got to change our declaration and our conversation. You know? Speaking to being the things that are not as if they were. Maritza prayed and kind of believe, not believe. Oh, 100,000 rand is a lot of money in South Africa. You can buy a house for that amount of money. Somebody said, here's my house money. You can't buy a house here for 5 grand. You can if you build it yourself. I'm thinking of building a container house, if anybody has any, like, you know, ideas around that. I thought I'd get that in there, you know. We could have a container village. We could all live together. No, just, let's not go there. Grow fruit and carrots and stuff. Cassandra could cook. Adam could cook. Could be good. Anyway, here we go. Do you know what? He has it available. He's not the God of half measure. He's not the God of just running on empty. He's a God of fullness. He's a God of freedom and liberty. If I could just touch this garment. You know, what's interesting is that Jesus never really taught on that then. He didn't bring out a CD set of Touch Your Garment Ministries. He didn't sell robes like He was wearing that day. He didn't, did He? But how much do we turn things into, well, this is how He works now. I love Jesus, don't you? I love when He throws mud at people. Spits on it. It's great, isn't it? Can you imagine walking in the street and a guy comes in and you just go, slap it on his eyes. People are thinking nuts. They'd call the police. They really would. You know? He's just out there. Like when He came to see the disciples, He's like, "Ooh, I'll come through the wall." They were freaking out. God does not go according to your pattern. It's His ways. One more scripture. Mark chapter 6. Just flick over. I think it's in verse 56. Jesus heals the sick. When they crossed over, they came to the land of, well, that's a hard word to say, and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And whenever he came, in villages, cities, or countrysides, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him, what? That they might touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. How many of you know that something happened, maybe a Facebook moment with that woman earlier? People heard and people think, and then all of a sudden, if we can just touch, if we can just be in his presence. What happened with Paul later on? Paul was making some tents. There was such an anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of God upon him that even bits of cloth were sent around. And they were put on people's heads and wherever else, and as a prayer cloth, and people's lives were changed. Oh, we don't do that anymore. Oh, okay. Well, they're a bit weird if we do that. No, don't make a ministry out of it. Here's my prayer cloth. It's now $10. Please buy it, or whatever, you know, the deal is. My sweat is on there. No, come on. Obviously, God, Holy Spirit spoke and said to Paul, we're going to do this way. Because whatever you have, they need it over there. For whatever reason, I don't understand. I don't get it. What's crazy is Peter later. What happened with Peter? Forget touch the garment. Forget put the cloth. It's shadow ministries. Wherever he walked, woo. You know? It said that they laid their sick. They noticed that he was going to the temple at this time. They said they got him in the streets. Oh, that his shadow might just go over them and be healed. What does it look like, church? What does it look like, you? Ask yourself this question. To walk according to how the Holy Spirit wants you to walk, with the power that he has, that when you walk into the presence of anybody, they know that the power of God or something is upon you. What does that look like for then it to begin to flow out to other people? And sometimes, I'm all, let's preach the gospel. Let's speak it out. But sometimes to not even have to say anything. What does that look like? Because if it says it in my Bible, it's possible. Apparently. Because the Bible says that we are to believe that this thing from cover to cover is the truth and the word of God. Do you know what can possibly get in our way? What can possibly stop us? What demonic thing can stop us from believing this? Nothing. It's actually just our mind. It's only the battle that goes on in here. God, I don't think this is true. I'm telling you, he's looking for a generation of people saying, I want you to truly host and walk according to the Holy Spirit, how I've called you to. And I know he's doing it. You can see it. You can see it. The freedom that is coming upon people's lives. Do you know what? You don't have to beg God for it. You don't have to conjure up some sort of dance or, you know, I don't know how you try and please God or whatever. You don't have to, it's not 10 steps to success for this. It's really simple. Just spend time with God. Ask him. Read your word. Do you know what? He begin to do it in you. It's not this discipline of praying 5 times a day, reading 14 chapters, you know, making sure you visit 62 people in a week. No, it's listening. It's decluttering. That's why the Holy Spirit needs to walk in amongst our lives. Because if he can walk and he can begin to declutter, you give him space where he can dwell. And your house does not become a rental venue. Your house does not just become a house. It becomes a home. And he needs a home. And do you know that the Holy Spirit is looking for a new home all the time? Not to leave you, but to be go and live in somebody else's home as well. And what are we? We host him. And as we begin to touch the people's lives around us, he begins to go and live in their homes. It's incredible, isn't it? Can I ask the worship team to come? Don't get distracted now or anything like that. There was much more to share, but we'll leave it there this morning. We've got time. God's not in a rush. I want to pray for people this morning. Maybe there's rooms. There is rooms that the Holy Spirit wants to walk in. I don't want to just leave what happened last week. I want to just bring it into this week. But maybe there's rooms that you really need to open those doors. It's been speaking this week to you. You know, He loves you that much. He really does. He is a good, good Father, God our Father. And He sent us a good, good gift, Jesus. Without Jesus, where were we headed? Destination was not heaven, and our purpose was certainly not heaven on earth. Our destination was hell. It's bottom line, really. And our purpose? Just exist. Nothing. Need. Yeah. Want. Fear. Depression. I don't know. All sorts of things. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his plan. I think we should just wise up to it. Just recognize that's what he's come to do. Okay, right. I recognize this thing. And then just say, okay, right, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. James 4:7. I used to sing a song about it when I was a kid. But there are rooms that need to be open today. We're going to begin to worship in a moment. God's not in a rush. If you put the dinner on a timer, it'll ping. It'll be okay. It'll keep pinging until you get home. But he's not in a rush this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to do something still. We can't just rush through church to another message. We can't. We cannot do it. We've got to, when it's time to just put on the brakes and dwell, we got to dwell. When we worship, we don't have to get through the set list. We got to stop and we got to say, okay, what is it in this moment? And if we go too far, we got to actually come back and say, no, we should have stopped here. Let's go back and let's just wait on what God wants to do. And so he wants to come and he wants to open some of those doors this morning, but he needs you to do it. Just like Esther said last week, he's not going to bash down the door. He's not going to kick it down. He's not Hulk Hogan coming in here. He wants you to like say, come on, I want to invite you into this place. And there are rooms that he needs to walk into this morning. But I also think this morning the Holy Spirit wants to come upon. Look, don't get caught up with the whole I got to speak in tongues. And let's not get too caught up there, right? But he wants to come upon with his power. There are many things that you will walk in and do. But the power of God, the Holy Spirit wants to come. And he wants to dwell. And he wants to stay like he did with Jesus. And he wants us to line our lives up with him. To walk according to what his pattern is. Are we going to get 100% right all the time? No, of course we're not. Come on. But he has incredible things for us to step into. Maybe it's a together thing. I don't know. You know? If you're husband and wife. Let's just stand. And just see what he wants to do. Also, if you feel you don't want to worship him standing in the row, you're more than welcome to, you know, stand on the chair if you like, or stand somewhere else. Whatever you want. Let's just worship him a bit. Prepare our hearts. Position ourselves. Posture ourselves, the Bible says. Just to receive what he wants to do this morning. Just to worship him with your own song. Whether that's quietly in your heart or out of your mouth as a declaration to him. We're family. Jesus, we worship you. Holy Spirit, come.
Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.